Beautiful, beautiful hymn singing this morning. Thank God for that. I welcome you again to God's house, brethren. Now let's look together in His Word. May the Lord bless as we read the Word of God and I try to expound upon the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit bless me to preach and me and you to hear the Word of God. I want to read just a very few verses to begin, and then we will go to the book of Samuel, first book of Samuel. Before we do that, I want to read Exodus 20, verse 12. It'll be familiar to you. It's number 5 of the 10 commandments. It was spoken by God through Moses to God's people as they were in the wilderness. You and I, brethren, live in a world that's like to a wilderness. And God, we would do well to follow these commands. Number 5 says, it's verse 12, Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The children of Israel were headed to a land. They called it a land flowing with milk and honey. Specifically, it was called the land of Canaan. They were on their way. They were fresh out of Egypt, just weeks, if not days, out of Egypt. And God gave them lots of law, but they boil down to 10 commandments. And that's number 5. Honor thy father and thy mother. And then this commandment, brethren, Paul reminds us in the New Testament, it has a promise connected to it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We read from Ephesians this morning, we read where Paul wrote the order in the home, and he says, honor thy father and thy mother is the first command with a promise that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. The Old and the New Testament, brethren, command us to honor our parents. And today, we honor mothers. Soon, God willing, we'll specifically honor fathers in this place. But 365 days a year, we're to honor our parents. Now, brethren, I would like us to look, would you turn to the book of 1 Samuel. Today being Mother's Day, I was thinking, I wrote this down in my notes because I thought it would happen, and it has happened. I was going to say to you, as I look out at you all, the congregation looks different this morning. Doesn't it? Look around. Doesn't it? Thank the Lord for that. Why does it look different? Because, brethren, many of you are doing exactly what God has commanded you to do, and that is, you're honoring your mother today. Many of you who are not normally here, not able to be here normally, have made the trek into the house of God. And you're honoring your mother. You do that, brethren, because God tells you to. And you do that because you love your mother. You're obeying that fifth commandment of the ten that God gives us. That commandment is recorded in Exodus 20, verse 12, as well as Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. We read that as a group this morning. One way you can honor your mother, come into God's house where she is. Many of you, your mother is seated near you. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. You can join her in worship. I can't think of anything that makes my heart swell nearly to bursting than have my children seated around me in church, in worship. It's the highest point on earth. Oh, we can go to the beach, we can go to the mountains, we can have a great time, but to be in the church of Jesus Christ with my children and grandchildren around me nothing exceeds that. This side of heaven. You can join her in worship, you can obey her instructions in the Lord. God tells us through Paul, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And brethren, I'll bet you, your mother, there's nothing more that she would want you to do than to be in the house of God and obey the Lord. If your mother is no longer here on earth, but in heaven, as many of your mothers are, you can still honor her, and you are, in fact, right now, honoring her memory by doing exactly what she'd have you to be doing right this moment. worshiping God in God's house. Paul reminds us that commandment number 5 is the first commandment with promise. The promise is, honor your mother and father, and the result is your days will be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Families will be strong. Nations will be strong. If we do that, God will bless you with length of days. Maybe in number, but certainly days filled with blessings. Long days of enjoyment, of family and children. You may live many years, or you may not, but your years will be filled with blessings when we obey God's command. There's a blessing in it, in that obedience. Our days are blessed. They're not trouble-free, but they're blessed of God. Mothers deserve honor, else God would not command it. We honor our mothers today. We do so, and when we do that, we're obeying God's command. For what you do for us, mothers, for what you've done for us, we thank you. We don't thank you enough, but we're going to try to thank you today. Mothers are faithful. Their children and their husbands rise up and bless God for them. That's Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, many verses talk about the virtuous woman, the faithful mother, faithful wife. Proverbs 31:28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. This morning, we're going to look at a woman in Scripture that was a faithful woman. She was a Proverbs 31 woman. You know her name? Hannah. Hannah. You know the story of her. I want us to study Hannah. She was a young woman of childbearing age that had no children. And she desperately wanted children. And we're going to read her story this morning, a part of it, what we can cover in a little while. We're going to look at Hannah. Her history is recorded in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. Hannah, thank God for her, a woman of faith in God, a faithful woman, a Proverbs 31 woman, blessed of God, whose family was blessed through her, and brethren, her nation was blessed through her. Go to 1 Samuel, please, in chapter 1, and I'm going to read, just look at selected verses. I'm not going to read, I typically will read some verses and then go back and take them one by one, but I'm going to do a sort of a narration here as we go along and make some comments. Hannah. First, her husband is mentioned in verse 1. She was married to a man named Elkanah. That's in verse 1. And they lived in Ramah. They lived in Israel of old. Hannah and Elkanah. But then verse 2 tells us that there was another woman in that life, in that home, and that was a woman named Peninnah. She was also the wife of Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives. Brethren, in the Old Testament, we find many occasions where men had more than one wife. But if you go back to the Garden of Eden, where God established marriage and the home and the family, you'll see that He made only one wife for Adam. He didn't make two or three or multiple. He made one. And that's His design. And that's what He would have. And often when you read about men who had more than one wife, for example, Jacob, he had Rachel and Leah. Solomon had, I believe, 700 wives and concubines. And trouble came. Trouble came when a man would have more than one wife. There was jealousy and infighting and murder, frankly, in some families. And this wasn't the best. But nevertheless, we have the history. He had two wives, verse 2 says. The name of one was Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, verse 2 says. Hannah had no children. She was not a mother. And she desperately wanted to be. Hannah had no children. And this man Elkanah was a godly man. He would go every year to a place called Shiloh to worship. Under the law in the Old Testament, every man in Israel was to assemble 3 times a year for various feasts, Passover, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles, I believe. I can't name all three of them. I think Weeks and tabernacles were the same, I think. But there were three of them, and he would go, and the temple in that day, the tabernacle, the temple was in a place called Shiloh. And God tells us here through Samuel that Elkanah would go every year as he was commanded to. And he worshiped there every year. And he loved Hannah. We're told that Elkanah, you see, one of the problems with more than one wife is that there become favorites there. And Hannah was his favorite wife, but she had no children. She desperately wanted children, but she had none. Verse 5 says, the Lord had shut up her womb. God controls that, brethren. He controls that, whether a woman is able to bear children or not. And we're told in Psalms that children are from God. They're a heritage. They're a blessing from God. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. The children come from God. And we're specifically told very plainly in verse 5, the Lord had shut up her womb. And Peninnah let her know about it too. Peninnah, it says, provoked her. She let Hannah know that her children, she probably paraded her children over and talked incessantly about her children, made a big thing over her children in front of Hannah, and it troubled Hannah. It tortured her. And so one year when they went up to Shiloh to worship, Hannah was so upset, she wept, she was weeping, and she wouldn't eat. She was just distraught. And her husband says, Hannah, why are you weeping? Verse 8, why don't you eat? Honey, cheer up. Why are you grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And probably the answer to that was, no, you're not. I love you, and you're my husband, but I want children. I need children. I desire children. So they're in Shiloh, and verse 9 says, Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. I think the they there is her family. I think she's fasting. I think she's distraught. She's not eating. Eli is the priest in Shiloh. Eli the priest, and he stays at the temple. And Hannah comes into the temple, and it says in verse 10 that she prayed and she wept sore. I think Hannah was fasting, praying, and weeping. And brethren, as so many people do, and as I have done, when you're in distress, you vow a vow. You talk to God and you make promises to God. I've done that many times or several times in my life. And the thing about vowing a vow, brethren, the Word of God says, be careful about vowing because you need to keep it if you make a vow. In fact, the Bible says it's better not to vow at all than to vow and not keep it. But Hannah makes a vow. Verse 11 says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if. This verse contains the words if and then. If God, you'll do this, then I'll do this. If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid not only a baby, but a little boy, she vows. A man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. He'll be a Nazarite. The Nazarite took a vow. No fruit of the vine, no wine, no touching of dead bodies, no cutting of the hair. They were sanctified. They were set aside. They took a special vow. Samson was a Nazarite. You remember the story of Samson and his hair. I'll give him to you, Lord. I'll give him back to you if you'll give me a little boy, baby. And she's praying, brethren, there in the temple. She's praying, and she's praying silently, but she's moving her mouth. And Eli mistakenly thinks that she's under the influence of alcohol. And he gets after her. He admonishes her. He says, put away your wine. Don't do that. Hannah spake in her heart, verse 13, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she had been drunken. He's the priest there. He's the head man at the temple. He calls the shots there, and he gets on to this woman. How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Verse 14. And Hannah, verse 15, answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. That's a worthless person. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereto. Then Eli answered and said, Listen, the priest blesses her now, brethren. Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. She gets a good word from the preacher there in the church, brethren. And she goes on her way now happy. Listen, verse 18, and she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She feels like she's going to get a blessing from God. And in fact, it does happen. She leaves Shiloh, goes back home with her husband. They come together as man and wife. And God, who had shut up her womb, opens her womb. And she conceives. He grants her conception. The fruit of the womb is His reward, God's reward, we're told in that psalm I cited to you. They rose up in the morning early, verse 19, worshiped before the Lord in Shiloh, returned back to Ramah, came to their house in Ramah. Elkanah knew Hannah as his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel. You know what Samuel means? Asked of God. Asked of God. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice. He's time to go back now. Time to go back to Shiloh. Does Hannah go with the baby? Hannah went not up. Is she going to keep her vow? She said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. She's still nursing the baby. It would not be wise for her to take the child and leave him there. And then I will bring him, she says, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. I'm going to take him. Okay, now I will take him. I will keep my vow, but he's still nursing. Elkanah says to her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until you've weaned him. But he reminds her, Hannah, you've taken a vow. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Now verse 24. The day comes, brethren, when she is to take that little boy and leave him. Walk away from him, keeping her vow. Verse 24, And when she had weaned him, she took him with her, with three bullocks and an ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. How old was he? I don't know. God doesn't tell us. He was a little boy. And they slew the bullock. They bring their sacrifice to the temple. The sacrifices are made. And she sees Eli there. She brought the child before Eli. Verse 25. Verse 26. And she said, Oh, my Lord. And you see, that's a Lord with a little L. It's someone with authority, but it's not the Lord God. It's a man. Oh, my Lord. Just a common way of referring to someone with authority. Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here in this tabernacle praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. The last time, as far as is recorded, that Eli saw her, she was there praying, crying. He thought she was drunk. He talks to her, and he says, God bless you. God grant your petition. That's the last time he saw her. A few years, probably, before. And she says, I'm back. That was me. We had the conversation. You thought I was drunk. I wasn't. I was praying. And here's the baby. I was asking God for this child, and here he is. God has granted my petition. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She gives him up. Mother, gave up her child, but she gave him up to God, brethren. She didn't give him up to someone else. She gave him up to God. There's a lesson, I think, in that, brethren, for all of us, but especially for mothers. And that is, brethren, give your child to God. There are children here in church. There are teenage children. There are little children here. And what you're doing, mothers, when you bring them into the house of God is you're giving them to God. You're giving them fellowship with God. You're giving them God's teaching. And that's what you need to do. That's what your children need most of all. They need to be given to God. Chapter 2, brethren, is Hannah's song. It contains Hannah's song. It's verses 1 through 10 is the song of Hannah. I'm not going to take time to read it, but I hope you'll read it. This woman, brethren, who's going to have to leave her little boy in Shiloh. I don't know how far it was from Ramah to Shiloh, but a mile would have been a long way. A half a mile would be a long way to leave your baby, wouldn't it? Your little boy. But she leaves him there. But she pens a song, brethren, in glory to God, praising God for what He's done. Now. Brethren, I want to point out two things. One, more than that, but at least two things. One, Hannah, brethren, was blessed of God to have that baby, and she kept her vow, and God continued to bless Hannah. Was this her only child that she gave? It was only one? I think it was the only one she had at the time. We're not specifically told that. However, brethren, look at chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters." I think that's five more children. I think it's three more sons and two daughters that God blessed her. You see, brethren, if we will obey God and do what we ought to do before God, He'll bless us. We have the example here of Hannah. Did it take courage? Did it take faith? Did it take, I don't know what it took for her to leave that little boy there in Shiloh? That took a lot, but she did it. And God, brethren, blessed her for it. She conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. So as the expression goes, you can't outgive God, brethren. God blesses her five times over, I guess, would be a correct statement, for what she had given Him. He blesses her greatly. And now I want to spend, brethren, just a little time saying to you how God blessed Israel for Hannah's faithfulness. The man Samuel, he grew up to be a man. While he was a little boy, brethren, it says that some things I wrote down about the child Samuel. In chapter 2, verse 11, did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. This little boy, as a young boy, began to be a minister of God, serve God in the temple at Shiloh. 2:11 says the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. What is it about children that are desperately prayed for and desired? And where a mother is childless, what is it that there's something about those children that often turn out to be great men of God? Samuel's one of them. I'm going to tell you some more things about him in a minute. You may already know him. I'll remind you of him. John the Baptist is another. His parents were childless. They were up in age, and they were praying for a child, and God granted their petition, Jesus Himself said about John the Baptist, there's not a greater one among men than John the Baptist. That's not the whole statement that He made, but John the Baptist was a great man. What is it about a woman who's childless and prays for a child and God grants it and that child turns out to be something special? Well, on Samuel, 2:11 says he ministered unto the Lord before Eli, the priest. 2:18 says Samuel ministered before the Lord. 2:19 is a sort of a little parenthetical. Guess what? Every year when when Hannah came to Shiloh, what'd she do? She visited her little boy, and she brought him a coat every year. Brought him a new coat every year. And God blessed her and blessed her with other children. And Samuel continues to grow. In chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "The child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." God blessed this man's life. He's growing up to be a young man. And when he was still a little boy, in chapter 3, he's asleep in the temple there with Eli. He stays there and helps Eli. Eli's old. He's having trouble seeing. And one night, Samuel's in bed, and he hears somebody call his name. You remember that story? He's in bed, and he hears Samuel. And he jumps up, and where does he go? Goes to Eli. He says, "You call me. What do you want?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back and get in bed." So he does that. And I don't know if he's asleep or not, but he's laying there, and he hears his name called again. And he hops up and he runs to Eli and says, "Sir, what do you need? What can I do?" He says, "No, I didn't call you. Go back and get in bed." And he goes back and gets in bed. And the third time he hears his name called. And he runs to Eli again and says, "What is it? You called me." And Eli had the presence of mind to say, "God's calling this little boy. It's God." And he says, "Samuel, go back and get in bed. And if you hear your name called again," verse 9 tells us, he says, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he call thee that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And God began to talk to this young boy and tells him, see Eli was not training up his children in the way they should go. And he had a couple of sons that were evil men there in the temple. They were doing all kinds of evil things. Having sex with women that would come to church is one thing they were doing. And God said, I'm fixing to stop this. Samuel, I'm getting to work here, and I'm going to put a stop to this. And he tells Samuel what he's going to do in the remainder of that chapter. And the next morning, you know what? Old Eli probably had lay awake that night wondering what was going on. And he called Samuel to him. He said, What did God say to you last night? He said, "Samuel, you've got to tell me. You've got to tell me. It may not be easy, but you've got to tell me what God said to you." So Samuel told him, I'm going to end your priesthood, Eli, and that of your boys. I'm putting a stop to it. Your boys are bad, and you know it, and you've not done what you need to do as a daddy, and I'm putting a stop to it. And not long after that, I don't know how long, but the two boys went out into battle and took the Ark of the Covenant with them. They were both killed, and the Ark was taken by the Philistines. You see, God won't allow evil to just go on and go on forever. He's a God of love and compassion and mercy, but He's also a God of judgment. And when He's had enough, brethren, He's had enough. And He had enough here. And Samuel, brethren, that's Samuel's role in it. Verse 19 of chapter 3, "Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." That is to say, brethren, what God said, Samuel said it. What God wanted, Samuel did it. He didn't let it fall to the ground. You ever let the Word of God fall to the ground? Sometimes I throw my Bible on the shelf and I leave it there. It's like throwing the Word of God to the ground. I need to hold it up, brethren. I need to read it, study it, follow it. Before Samuel came along, brethren, there was no open vision. God was not speaking. In verse 21 of chapter 3 says, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." That baby, that little special baby that mama vowed that vow for, and God heard it, and she kept her vow, brethren. That's the baby. In closing, I want to tell you, Samuel grew up, brethren. Samuel grew up, and I've been reading in 1 Samuel in the last several days, and I want to tell you some things about Samuel. In chapter 7, the Philistines are assembling themselves on the border with Israel. They're about to fight, and Samuel comes. Samuel shows up. He's a priest, brethren. He's not a warrior, but he's a priest, and he comes. He shows up, and he prays for Israel, and God delivers Israel through Samuel. Another thing he did was when the Israelites cried out for a king, we want a king, like the nations around us, we want a king. God says, you don't need a king, you got me. They said, we want a king. And so God says, okay, Samuel, you anoint them a king. They've not rejected you, they're rejecting me. You go ahead and anoint them a king. Samuel anointed Saul king over Israel. God told him to do it, and he did it. And King Saul made a mess of things. And Samuel showed up. He told Saul, go and destroy Amalek, because Amalek attacked my people when they came out of Egypt. You go destroy them. Men, women, boys, girls, livestock, kill all of them. Go. Those were the words of Samuel to Saul. And God was speaking them. And so Saul went out to battle with Amalek. And he killed everybody except the king, didn't he? He spared him, Agag. He spared the king. And they took, not only, they didn't kill all the livestock, they killed the deformed and the runts, they killed them, but the best they kept. They flew on the spoil. They kept them. And Saul's there with his men and with the livestock and with the spoil and with King Agag. They're there. And guess who shows up? The last person Saul wanted to see, Samuel. The little boy that was born and turned over to God in the temple. He's now a man, and he shows up on the scene. And Saul says, oh, hello, I've done what you told me to do. And what did Samuel say? What's that I hear? What's that? What's that sound? What's that bleeding of the sheep? What is that? Where did the sheep come from? And Saul said, well, the people. The people, we wanted to sacrifice, and so we spared them. And there's King Agag standing over there. Samuel probably says, not recorded, Samuel probably said, what's he doing here? Who is that? You know, being the priest and the preacher is not an easy job always. I don't know if Samuel took delight in that or if he dreaded it. It says that, I'll get a little ahead of myself, but God says, okay, that's it for Saul. The kingdom is taken from him. I'm going to give it to somebody else. And it says that Samuel prayed or cried to God all night long for Saul. Oh, sorry, Saul. That was disobedient. The preacher still stayed up all night crying to God for him. You know, when the preacher sees things in the lives of the people, you know, it hurts him. It hurts him. It does me. It hurts me when there are things in my life I ought not to be doing, but I got to cry to God in behalf of you. It's my job. And so Samuel, Saul said, well, we saved these best of the sheep and oxen for sacrifice. And you know what Samuel said? Better to obey than sacrifice. It's better to go ahead and just do what God says. Then you don't have to come with an offering, a sin offering. And you know what Samuel did, brethren? Right in front of Saul and his men, he took a sword to Agag, and it says he hewed him up. He hewed him. He chopped him up right in front of everybody. The preacher, the priest did that. And says, that's what God wants, so we're going to do that. And then he said to Saul, the kingdom, God's going to give it to a better one. And Saul says, well, stay here and worship with me. At least, come on, I'm ready to worship now. And Samuel walks away. He's walking away, and Saul grabs his mantle, and Samuel keeps walking, and Saul keeps hanging on, and it rips. And Samuel turns around and says, the Lord has ripped the kingdom from you right now because you've been disobedient. Tough job Samuel had, but that little boy, brethren, he grew up, and he grew up to do those great things, to bless his nation. Because of a faithful mama, praying and keeping her vow. And the lesson in that to you mothers is just be faithful. Just be faithful. You have no idea what God will do with your children if you'll train them up in the way they should go. Hannah could not possibly have known what her son was going to grow up to do one day. But she was faithful. She turned him over to God. She put him in the house of God. So ladies, put your child in the house of God. Put him in God's hands. Train him in the right way. The last thing that I have here that Samuel did is God says, you go to Bethlehem. There's a family there. There's a man named Jesse. And you anoint. Now, Saul's the king. He says, you go to Jesse's house and you anoint his son. I'll show you which one it is. You anoint him the new king. And you know what Samuel said? Well, Lord, I'm a little afraid to do that because we got a king. And if he finds out I go anoint another king, then he's going to be after me. Not always easy to do what God tells us to do, is it? But God said, well, go ahead. I'll take care of you. And he did. And he went. And the older boys, starting with the oldest and the next oldest, they all came in front of Samuel. He said, that's not him. God says, not him, not him, not him. And then that was all of them that were there. And Samuel said to Jesse, do you have any more sons? And he says, yes, I do. The youngest, he's out keeping the sheep. And Samuel said, well, go get him. Go send for him. And David comes in and God says, that's him. David, the young shepherd boy. God says, that's him. Anoint him. And Samuel, the man Samuel did that. That's Samuel that anointed David, the great, who would later become the great kill Goliath, become the great warrior king of Israel and Judah. Unite the kingdoms. That's the man that anointed him. So I just want to say, ladies, mothers, God's blessing to you as a child. Train him or her up in the way they should go. Give them to God. No telling what God will do with them one day. In fact, I see it already in the lives of a lot of the young people in the church here, that they were here before I got here, but they've had the right training and they're doing the right thing, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for all of you mothers. Thankful for what you do for your children, for your families, for your church. Thank God for that. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this faithful life of this woman named Hannah. Thank you for providing and preserving her history for us to study. I beg you, Lord, to bless the women that have been blessed with children to be good mothers, faithful wives and mothers in their families. Give them courage, Lord, and give them the strength and grace they need. Teach, instruct, be a good example, and be faithful, so that families will be blessed of their lives and nations will be blessed of their lives. We thank you. I thank you for it, Lord. What a blessing in this local church here. The women of the church are mothers of children, mothers of the church, mothers in Israel. Thank you for their lives and for giving them to us. We thank you for them. Bless their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. If you love Jesus today, it's because He first loved you. The Word of God is very plain on that. If you love Him, He would love for you to serve Him in this place. And if you desire to do that, brethren, serve Him like Samuel did in his day. Serve God. Come forward as we stand and sing. To be received in any way the gospel authorizes.